Penguin Random House Audio presents Love, Life, Sober, a 40-day alcohol fast to rediscover your joy, improve your health, and renew your mind. Forward by Wendy Speak. This is the author, Christy Osborne. The material in this book is for informational purposes only. It is not intended to serve as a diagnostic tool or prescription manual or to replace the advice and care of your medical doctor. We recommend that you consult with your medical professional before making any lifestyle changes discussed in this book. The authors and publisher expressly disclaim responsibility for any adverse effects that may result from the use or application of the information contained in this book. Details in all anecdotes and stories have been changed to protect the identities of the persons involved. For Chris, Ella, and Carter, I thank God for you three every single morning. And for my mom, I can't wait to tell you all about what happened after you left for heaven. Forward by Wendy Speak, author of The 40-Day Sugar Fast, The 40-Day Social Media Fast, and Triggers. I'm the girl who writes books nobody else would choose to write. Surprisingly, the more uncomfortable the topic and the more I'd prefer to avoid the conversation altogether, the more books I sell on those topics. I talk about mommy anger and sugar addiction and all the icky things we'd rather keep hidden away behind closed doors, and certainly not share in lovely little squares on Instagram. That said, there is one particularly private stone I have not publicly turned over, allowing the light of God's word to illuminate it and lead into freedom. Of course you know which stone I'm talking about. Alcohol. After launching the book, The 40-Day Sugar Fast, in 2019, I became very aware that a 40-day alcohol fast was desperately needed, but the door never opened for me to write about it, no matter how hard I knocked. Which is why I am beyond thrilled to lift my mocktail and toast Christy Osborne for her courage and creativity in writing Love, Life, Sober. Bringing secret struggles out into the light takes great courage, not just for authors, but also for listeners. So I raise my metaphorical glass and acknowledge your courage too. During one of my annual online sugar fasts, I spoke to a brave woman who told me about the day she realized she had a sincere addiction to sugar. She had found freedom from alcohol after years of being stuck in the drinking cycle. One day, she realized she was hiding her stash of sugar in all the same places where she used to hide bottles of wine. In a cowboy boot in her closet, she kept a box of Girl Scout cookies. Beneath the bathroom sink and behind rolls of toilet paper, she hid a stash of chocolate-covered almonds. And in the hard-to-get cabinet above the fridge, she tucked away, out of sight, the bag of mismatched holiday candies. In the same way she once reached up to take hold of a bottle of wine in the mid-afternoon, she now retrieved her sweets. She'd gone from self-medicating with one substance to another. As she shared her story with me, I pictured her there in her kitchen, reaching up for a bottle of wine or a box of treats, and suggested that the answer to any and all struggles can only be found when we reach just a little bit higher. The one who reigns above all the stresses and sorrows of this life is enthroned above our refrigerators too. Reach a little higher became my battle cry when leading ladies into these very private fights. Whether you are reaching for alcohol, sugar, or social media, or streaming shows to make it through your days, I invite you to reach a little higher these next 40 days. Set your eyes on the one who invited his disciples and invites us. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. You are so brave, and I am cheering you on. Introduction. March 9th, 2020. I wake up with a headache, par for the course over the last 2 years. I reach over and grab my phone to check the time while keeping one eye closed. I still have on yesterday's makeup. It isn't even the makeup from the night before. It's makeup from lunch at a little Italian restaurant in Clapham, where we celebrated my children turning 8 and 10 with close friends. I take a second to rate the category of my hangover. Darn, it's a bad one. I immediately try to think of what I must do today and when I can lie down again. It's a Monday morning, and I'm used to this predicament because I face it routinely. Mondays mean I have to get the children to school. But I can come home and nap after that, all alone in an empty house. I can nurse my hangover in peace. I pick up my phone and see a text from my cousin Katie in Los Angeles. Missing our beloved Terry. I love you. Heart emoji. My heart sinks into my stomach and I feel like I might vomit. Terry, my mom, today marks the second anniversary of her death. My cousin's message isn't the only one that popped up, but I don't feel like responding to even my closest friend's condolences. They don't understand how I'm feeling. How could they? They all have their moms still. The loneliness overwhelms me. I put my phone back on my nightstand and roll over, hoping my husband Chris will volunteer to take the children to school this morning. I spend most of the day in bed, wallowing in grief. I scroll through social media and try to distract myself with Netflix, but mainly I just feel sorry for myself. The hangover is real, my stomach is churning, and my only aim is to get through this awful day. I purposely ignore anyone calling to check on me, and when flowers arrive from Chris in the afternoon, I want to roll my eyes. The beautiful pink and red bouquet from my favorite florist in Chelsea won't bring my mom back, so what's the point? 2 years. What had I done in the past 2 years? Absolutely nothing. It felt like I had just been drinking. Drinking, drinking, drinking. I look back on my Instagram posts from the last 2 years. How did I look so happy when I was so sad and broken? There are photos of my trips to Ibiza, Saint-Tropez, and Paris, skiing in the Italian Alps. A photo of me at brunch with Posh Spice herself. I have a big smile on my face. How? I eventually scroll back to posts from 2018, right after my mom died. The royal wedding. Sky News, the UK-based news network, needed a peppy American to cover the wedding who could represent the excitement people felt in the USA. I watch my interviews from that time. I should have been given an Emmy for appearing that happy on screen when I was so miserable inside. There were so many days like this when I didn't want to get out of bed. There are comments on the post that say things like, "Your mom would be so proud." As we all know, Instagram is zero reflection of reality. So what had my life really looked like in the past 2 years? It looked like waking up with a headache, planning what I had to do to get through the day, hoping there was a lunch in my calendar so there would be an excuse to have a glass, or three, of cold white wine at noon. And if there wasn't a lunch, trying to get to the afternoon as quickly as possible so I could open up a bottle of wine when the homework books came out after school. Everything looked so glossy and pretty on the surface, but it just wasn't. When the afternoon wine bottle popped open, I felt relief. I could go fuzzy again. I didn't have to handle all the painful stuff. I didn't have to think about the fact that I wasn't being a great mom. I didn't have to think about my collapsing marriage to Chris. I didn't have to think about how I didn't have a mom anymore, that my children no longer had their Grammy. The wine became a total and complete escape for 2 years. 2 years. I wonder where I will be in another 2 years if I keep drinking like this. My mind pings back and forth between, "Oh, come on, I'm fine. Not one person has called me out on my drinking," and "This has to stop." Then, in an attempt to shut up the internal battle in my head, I quite literally shout to God, "Jesus, I can't do this anymore. I certainly don't want to look or feel like this anymore. I don't want to spend every March 9th for the rest of my life nursing a hangover and hiding in my dark bedroom. I need this day to mean something else." And so on March 9th, 2020, in honor of my mom, I decide to try to be better for my little family and to take a break from alcohol. In the following days and months, I struggled to remain alcohol-free. I battled cravings and felt terrified to tell friends what I was doing. I didn't have one friend who didn't drink. I worried my social life would suffer. I had no idea how to navigate life without alcohol. I felt scared and alone. I kept returning to 2 Corinthians 12:9, which says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me." God's power was made evident to me in my weakness around alcohol. He would take this struggle of mine and turn it into something.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?